Hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. It's the last one of 2018, and what a year it's been. Simon Ferry sitting right across me. Si, number three in the iCharts, the iTunes charts, UK.
What, is that the highest we got to?
I think it was only Big Crouchy that beat me, wasn't it? Aye, and Gary Lineker's one, to be fair. They're in decent company, joining us. They're in decent company. 2019, could see he's got that number one spot, particularly if he can pull off guests like the Man City on my right-hand side here.
Top man.
He's got big footsteps to follow. In the last podcast, we had a wee break last week, the last one with Kevin Kyle and Paul Slane on, a man that the guy sitting next to me, Gordon DL, knows very well. Daz, two major characters there.
Slaney loves him, by the way. Spoke to Slaney last night. He loves big Daz.
Well, I've got to admit, the first time I got involved with Slaney was through his coaching. I know he's very serious now. And I was up at East Kilbride. We put on a camp for some kids and everything. And then I heard Slaney was coming. My first thoughts were, oh no, Christ, no, no. So anyway, but Slaney turns up. He's about 4 hours early. Place isn't even opened. He's warming up outside. I get there. Right, Dazzler, what do you want me to do? I said, Slaney, look, I'll send you with the pups today. And I've got to say, best boy I've ever had the privilege to work with. He was terrific. Enthusiasm with the kids, every one of them. The feedback we got was brilliant. Just the way he went about his business, he just, you know, the kids.
Good
just,
drills as well.
Everything. Right. And the one thing I liked about him was, after it, he would come up, he would sit, he would talk to you, he would ask you, you know, about your experiences, the best way to go about organisation, his drills, everything at all. He would watch everything you were doing, taking everything in. And I know a lot of people, football, squeegeeing, but I've had it before, you know, the joking characters. But underneath there with Slaney, there's something really serious with the boy, and he's and he wants to go on to, this could be his role. You know, I know I had an up and down career like myself, but as a coach and what I witnessed that week, he certainly got a lot to offer. The boy was brilliant, and his character comes out as well. And you know what? We all know what like it is. See, if you're working under one of the best managers I worked under, and he wasn't great tactically, he wasn't great in the training ground, it was Jimmy Nicol, because he had a fantastic, you know, character.
Way a bit of
him,
enthusiasm.
Aye, so, and Slaney's got that in abundance, as we know. So I wish him, he's a terrific boy, and I would certainly work with him again, but only for a day, not for a week.
Well, it's been a good addition to the Open Goal team, Slaney, so for him and all the rest of the guys, have a good Christmas. Right, we'll get down to business. Daz, we'll start with you. Hibs 2, Celtic 0, and a well-deserved win for Neil Lennon's man.
Yeah, you've got to say, especially Hibs have been struggling. They get the wee result they needed against Hamilton away from home. And as much as Hamilton are struggling a little bit, it's always a difficult place to go because of the surface and everything. They needed that victory. But I thought Sunday they were terrific. And I know a lot of people look at, the minute Celtic or Rangers lose, it's all about how bad their formations or what went on with them. Hibs and teams like that don't get a lot of credit. I thought tactically Neil Lennon was brilliant at the weekend, because he came out and he played a diamond in the middle of the park, which caused Celtic all sorts of trouble. And they got off to the best possible start. You know, you can't ask for a better start than that. Celtic, for me, were all over the place. One of the worst performances I've witnessed. I've watched Celtic every second week, you know, for Super Scoreboard, Mark. And they're two different teams. At Celtic Park, you just think, this is 5+. You know, the amount of chances, the way they move the ball, the quickness, the speed. Away from home, Motherwell, they were shocking second half. Hibs at Easter Road, I thought they were shocking. So there's a wee problem somewhere. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure that Brendan Rodgers will be looking at that, because he's a perfectionist. And I think he got it wrong. I think you can talk about players. I thought the manager, and it's only my opinion because I've never managed at his level, but I think he got it wrong.
You, we'll speak about Neil Lennon for a minute. Simon, you played under Neil at Celtic. He was a teammate then. He was your manager. That was a massive win for him. Because although I wouldn't suggest that he was under pressure at Hibs, but for him personally, the standards that he set himself, he would have been feeling it, that bad run, wouldn't he?
Definitely. I think they looked like a team that had Neil Lennon shouting at them for 2 weeks. You know, they looked like they were on it. and that comes for him. I think Gary Parker doing the post-match interview tells you, I think he'd have been locked in that dressing room for years with him, knowing him. Even in the reserves, if you had a bad performance, it wouldn't be a wee 5 minute chat. You know, you'd been there for 2 hours, there'd be an inquest into a reserve game. Mm-hmm. And that's how seriously he takes it. He's a very ambitious guy. He was as a player as well. He sets very high standards. And I thought Hibs again were excellent. They ran over the top of Celtic. And you can't say that too many times about a Brendan Rodgers team, but to me they looked fitter and stronger than them. And that would be my big worry for the Celtic manager. It's guys who, you can't say they've played too many games, because it's guys that have not played a lot, that played on the Saturday. I mean, and for me, Hibs looked a hungrier team, and that shouldn't really happen with a Celtic team.
I mean, Dad's just watching bits of the game. I was at Ibrox on Sunday, but seeing bits of the game, and even previously, I think Celtic maybe asking too much of Edouard in terms of he is still a kid. You think they've not really the backup striker. Lee Griffiths been out. He's now out for a period indefinitely, and we wish him well, and he's recovery. But it's vital that Celtic bring in another number nine in January.
Well, I said in the programme on Sunday, I'm surprised at a club at Celtic stature, and I'm not saying to get in play every week. In my day, you played in the reserves waiting for an opportunity in the first team. Celtic don't seem to have that. With the size of the academy they've got, you know, you look over at Ibrox on Sunday, and on the bench was a young boy, Dallas, because he's scoring goals in the reserves. Now, you never get used, but I don't know how Celtic have not got that cover. Edouard, I think Thursday and Sunday was shocking. Now, I'm not. You can make excuse for a young boy, but there's no excuse for, especially, I think it was the first half, there was a few times that Sinclair get down the line, cut a good ball across. His movement was shocking. For a £9
million... He doesn't get into that.
You know, he puts himself between the defender and the winger, and the winger can't pick him out. He's got to learn that side of his game.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is that something you think that he's... excuse me, that he's still to be coached? Or do you think in those couple of games it's just been laziness for him?
I think he was poor on Thursday, I really do. I thought his link-up play was terrible. But he's a terrific talent, Mark. Mm. See, the problem we're now, the great thing about Celtic and teams like Rangers, two biggest teams in Scotland, the minute they have a bad weekend, everything seems to be, oh, there's a million folks. You're looking at a Celtic team that's qualified for the last 32, mm-hmm. win the League Cup, games in hand, and could go top of the league. Now, if you say that and say, well, I've had a real poor performance against Hibs, fine, you'll accept that. So we start picking holes. We start picking holes in Scott Brown. You know, should McGregor play there? And Cham, look at him as a player. He's went back a little bit. I thought Brendan Rodgers, even on Sunday, I've criticised him. I have no idea why Brendan Rodgers played the formation he played. Mm-hmm. I have no idea whatsoever. I watched him against Kilmarnock the week before, league leaders Kilmarnock, and Celtic absolutely skelped him with a back four. Izaguirre was different class at left back. Now, I get back to Hibs playing the diamond, so even if Ayer plays right back, he's no up against a left winger. So you've no got a problem. Mm-hmm. And everybody else fits into the system that served Brendan Rodgers and Celtic brilliantly up until Scott Brown got injured, and then they went 4-1-4-1. Mm-hmm. So he plays Scott Sinclair wing back, and Izaguirre wing back. It just baffled the life out of me, it really did.
See, just on Edouard though, he's not a penalty box striker, is he?
No.
You didn't see him scoring tappings. When he scores goals, they're usually, he's out wide, he cuts in, he bends the ball in the top corner. Whereas a Dembele or a Griffiths, the ball goes across the 6 yard box, there to tap the ball. I think that's what Celtic need now. Griffiths is no there, Dembele's no there. Edouard wants to come to the ball all the time, I think, whereas Griffiths wanted to run him behind. Get in the box. Natural finisher, yeah.
Who would you go for there? I mean, realistically, in January, if you're there and you think, oh, can we go and nick Kevin and bring him in? Even if it's a loan to the end of the season or something, who would you think would be an ideal kind of number nine for Celtic to bring in?
Well, I've seen the paper of names like Defoe getting mentioned, for instance. I think Defoe would score barrowloads. I really do. I know he's at the end of his career, but his movement's in the box. Mm-hmm. You know, you're right, Si. Edouard likes to go wide and pick the ball up. Natural strikers like to play within the box. Mm. That's where they score the goals. And I always have a thing in your head, the further you go away, the further you get away from the goal for me. Now, when I played, for instance, I wasn't a guy that could go out and pick the ball up in the wing, go and beat people and curl it into the top corner. Mm-hmm. I was a guy that depended on my full backs, my wide men, or a pass through the middle for me, you know, in that 18-yard area mm-hmm. to have the opportunity to score. Edwards know that kind yeah. of, and I think Celtic, as you say, Griffiths is that kind. I think Celtic need that because watching his movement at the weekend, I thought it was very, very poor. But he's young, he's getting the best coaching, and that may come. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just look at a player and you know that they've not got that natural. McCoist was the master of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Forget him, the link-up play. Mm-hmm. The minute the ball goes in the box, he comes alive, and that's why he scored all the goals.
There's a couple of times in Europe, James Forrest was getting the ball wide and he's whizzing it across the front through at the box, and Edwards pulling back to the 18-yard mm-hmm. spot to get the ball cut back. You know what I mean? That's why Rogic's there. He's there to arrive at the 18-yard box. You want your number 9 to be breaking his neck to get into the areas that you're going to tap the ball in the net for 5 yards.
I think when you watch your old club, as I know you do, Man City, and the thing that struck me under Pep Guardiola is the amount of goals that they score from either the wingers, whether it's Sterling or whoever
Sane
it is, Walker,
that,
Sane, getting to the byline, but not the byline at the corner flag, coming right in, coming along it, uh-huh. and just wasn't something along the 6-yard box, and there's always at least two options there. If you look at the amount of goals that they score from within the 6-yard box, and that's something that
they clearly
work on in terms of the movement and where to put the
but
ball.
But you've got to look at Man City and say that the quality of player they've got first and foremost. They've got Aguero, who is that kind of penalty box guy as well. But they've got so much talent from middle to front in their movement. But you're right, they play in such areas because teams are frightened against teams like City, so they'll clamp into the middle of the park and try and defend nice and tight and say, well, we'll rather force them down the wide areas. But what they've got that much quality in the wide areas, when they get there, they pick out the right ball. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is the movement's right, the timing of the movement. See, when you coach young strikers, I've watched people getting coached and before the ball's even in the box, they've made about 5 runs. I don't believe in that. I think that you've got to make the movement. If somebody's about to cross that ball, that's your time to make your movement. You could be standing there. All the best strikers, Koisty used to do it as well. You would stand there, and just as somebody would put their foot to it, boom, that was your movement. You got across the defender. Or sometimes you went short and peeled back. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought was missing with Edward, because I thought that Celtic were in good positions, whereas the defender, it's made it easy for the defender. Because the defender can still see him. You know what I mean? He's still in the line. Whereas if he goes in behind the defender looks to look at the ball, that's when he makes his movement. But he's young. He's come with a big price tag. The one thing I like about him, he's a terrific player. He's got great ability. Mm. So it's whether they can coach that natural instinct in that box to go and bang the goals constantly for him.
Well, across the City, Rangers also looking for a number 9, somebody to come in and put a bit of pressure on Morelos and a bit of support to Morelos. I was there on Sunday, Rangers won 1-0, Daniel Condea scored after 3 minutes, Rangers should have won 3 or 4-0, Gary Woods had a couple of terrific saves, Kyle Lafferty's missed a couple of sitters. How important is it for, just what we're saying about Celtic, how important is it for Steven Gerrard to go and get a number 9?
I think his biggest job, Martin, and I've been there, I've inherited squads and you're trying to change things about and make it better, but you've got people on your books that you can't get off and you're desperate to get them out of the club so that you can bring in fresh players, your players. And I think Rangers in that bit of situation, because there were 2 players we were talking about the weekend, they got to $50,000 between
Peña
them.
And Herrera.
Herrera, yeah. Yep. It's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And you think of what you could do with that money in January, if you could get them off the wage bill. But unfortunately, you're not going to be able to do that. See, I look at Rangers, and everybody talks about a number 10. They need this number 10. These number 10s are very hard to find, let me tell you. There's no millions of them going about.
Paul Slane.
Aye, Slaney will find him. He'll be out there in the coaching thing, mate. Slaney will coach them how to score goals. But the number 10's a very hard position to go and find, because that's the guy that opens everything up. If you look at all the top teams like the Cities, you know, go and look at their guys that are number 10's. They're multi-millions. They're way out price ranges, Celtic and Rangers. So Rangers need someone. Lafferty's in there. You're not telling me he can't again and do a turn with Morelos, who's banging in goals. My biggest concern for Rangers is the defence. I know Barisic's come in. I like the look of him. I think the two centre backs are. I don't think throughout the season we'll win your league.
They've got four at the moment. There's Katic, there's Goldson, there's McCauley, and there's Worrell. So they've got four centre backs. They've bought Katic, they've bought Goldson, they've got McCauley in a free, and they've got Worrell on one. Out of the four, who's the best partnership? Or do you think they still need to bring another one in?
I think if they could get rid of one or two of the centre backs, I'd freshen centre backs up. Yeah, I don't think they're good enough.
Who would you move on, Daz? If you could move one, think, on, who would you move on?
I think Katic is struggling badly.
Yeah.
And I think when he came in at first, you just look at somebody and you think, no, I don't fancy him. But you've got to give people time. That's only one person's opinion. Mm-hmm. And when I watched him against Hamilton, I thought, oof, he's all over the place. Worrell, but you've got to look at these boys, right? Like, say, Goldson had only played something like 30-odd games in his career.
Before he came here.
Exactly. Hadn't played at that, you know, the pressures of playing with Rangers.
Scrutiny.
50,000 people every second week. Katic, you look at Worrell's hardly, you know, not played hundreds of games. A loanee for Nottingham Forest. McCauley, I think, when he come up, great experience, had only played so many games with West Brom as well that season. But you look at the four, and honestly, I know why Steven Gerrard's rotating it all the time, because I look at them one week and go, that's not a good partnership. Then you look at them and you say, oh, that looks no bad, they've done okay this week. And then it's, I think you can expose Rangers easily, defensively, easily. I think that's where a big test will come at Ibrox, because if Celtic are firing on all fronts from their front four, as I call them, I think they'll give Rangers authority.
Here's one for you, Cassio. Would you sign Shankland for Rangers?
Lauren Shankland from Air United.
Rangers fan.
For £300,000 or whatever it is in that kind of region, and obviously well within Rangers' budget in terms of wages. I would love to see, because he's a young Scottish talent, and you love to see boys from lower divisions getting a chance. What I would certainly do, if it was possible, and even if you had to give Air United £50,000, so let us have a look at him for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take him, if not, you'll get £50,000. You know? What do you think? You're in the lower leagues. What do you?
I don't know. I've not seen enough of him. But honestly, I've not seen enough of him. I played again when I was at Dundee. He was a young kid at Aberdeen, and I remember came on. He impressed me straight away. That was years ago. But I mean, if you're scoring that many goals in the Championship, you know, there's good teams in the Championship. Yeah. Dundee United, and he's doing it week in, week out. It's not like he's a flash in the pan. You know what I mean? It's been a full half a season. He's been doing it. What do you think, Daz?
Well, I was scoring 35 plus in the Championship year in, year out.
What, player of the year, 2 years in a row, three years in a row with PFA?
I don't know, I went to that many, I did some heavy trophies. Every time I ran into the Hilton, there was a trophy, right, there you go. They actually gave me the door.
That's a lie, you were in the Hilton more times than that.
Yeah, exactly. He was there that often, he sponsored me, Ralph Slater.
They gave me a trophy for that as well. But I watched the boy against, the big question mark's simple, isn't it? And we'll all be the same, but you'll never know until he actually goes and has a goal. Can he take the step up? Mm-hmm. Right, that's a big question. I'm like you, I've no watched him that much, but I watched the game against Dundee United when he banged in four. And I get back to Edward, right? And I'm not comparing before anybody thinks I'm not. But his movement in the box was excellent. If you go and watch his movement in the box against Dundee United, it was brilliant. It created the space for him to score the goals. Now, the counter-argument is people say, well, he's not playing against the same defenders he would play in the Premier League. But you're right, Mark. I think a boy that's got a natural eye, and he's obviously, I think he's changed a little bit because I think he's got a new job. He's into fitness.
Personal trainer.
Yeah, right. But he's got a natural eye for goals. And you can only tell when you take him in, and plus the fact, remember also the argument against, can he do it against top players? Well, the argument against that is he's playing with better players. Cause
he's getting more chances to
Because I found, no disrespect, I found going down the leagues harder to play with worse players.
Uh-huh.
Right? When I went for the Raith Rovers, and I was scoring 30 odd goals in the Championship. And I went to Raith Rovers Air. I was coming near the end of my career. And after two games at Ayr United, I offered them money and everything back to cancel my contract because I thought, I'll not score five goals. Couldn't score five, because you were making moves that quick movement that you tried to make that you were educated with, they took an extra touch. Right. And it's no disrespect to them, it's just because you'd sort of played at different levels. It was the greatest story when my first Old Firm game, when I says to Davy Cooper at Celtic Park, what am I got to do? Just run, I'll find you. You know, that was the quality. And when you had guys like Davy Cooper saying that to you with the quality. So that's where I think Shacklin might be worth saying, as you say, get him in, have a look at him in training, see how he does with the players. But he's certainly got an eye for goal, the boy. Got to say that for him.
How important then in terms of the league days? Because whatever happens, Rangers, Celtic, and we'll not rule out Kilmarnock, they're all going to be tight. Nobody's going to be 8, 9, 10 points ahead come the winter break. So how important is it to get the right business done at the clubs during the window next month?
Massive. January's massive. Forget Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock's a fairy tale. I watched Kilmarnock turn up at Celtic Park last week, and people were saying, well, the fans are dreaming. Right, well, they got a wide awake. The alarm clock went off, let me say. But they've been brilliant, Kilmarnock. I like watching Kilmarnock. He's doing a terrific job down there. He's turned the place about. There's a great enthusiasm about the club now. The fans are starting to come back, so they should for what they're producing. But they're not going to win the league. They're not good enough to win the league. No chance. And I know people say, well, Leicester City, all that nonsense, right? So they're not going to do that. Right. That's not happening. So Celtic and Rangers is a big transfer window. A real big transfer window. I think Celtic obviously have got the money. They don't really have the problems that Rangers have got trying to get ready 50 grand right away for a week. Plus, there'll be other players there that they'll try and move on. So I think it's going to be a more difficult transfer window for Rangers than it is for Celtic. And the only way for my opinion, the only way the league can go tight right to the end is if Celtic, for some reason, continue with this away structure that's happening. Because they've not been great in the road at all.
No, I mean, they've dropped points at Livingston, they've dropped points at St Mirren, they've dropped points at Motherwell, they've lost at Hibs, they've lost at Tynecastle. You're right, on the road, it's been very, very poor.
But flip the coin over, when they go to Celtic Park, they just look a different team that comes out the tunnel, Mark. And some of the football they play is great. For instance, Kilmarnock went top of the league to Celtic Park, get beat 5-1. Hearts turned up top of the league, Celtic Park, get beat 5. And the two teams were lucky to get out just fives, right? And that's no being disrespectful to the Hearts or Kilmarnock. It was just Celtic are a different team at Celtic Park. But if they continue what they're doing away from home, and you've seen the confidence Hibs had in Sunday against them, believed that they were going to win, then if Rangers can recruit properly, then I think we're in for an exciting time.
Well, tomorrow night there's two big games. As we said, Rangers go Easter Road, Motherwell visit Celtic Park. I was there, as I said, I was there on Sunday to watch Rangers, and after the game, Rangers went top of the league, but Stephen Gerrard wasn't getting carried away, he was playing it down, and if anything, he was critical of his players in terms of lack of killer instinct inside the box. If you're a player in a dressing room and you go top of the league, but the manager isn't fulsome in his praise, do players get annoyed at that, Daz?
No, I don't think so. I think he's playing it down because of the hype that went round about it the last time they went top of the league. It lasted days.
That's right.
You know, everybody's, oh, Rangers top of the league, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're not. They had a poor Aberdeen, Dundee, and things changed very quickly. So I think inside the dressing room, he'll be saying, look, guys, I'm playing this down. We're not going to get carried away here. We're playing this right down. We're not going to play into the hands of everybody thinking we're getting excited. So as much as he's a young manager in his first season as a manager, he's starting to learn as well. Yeah. You know, he's starting to educate himself, right, hold on a minute here. But privately he'll be saying to his players, I know that you were at the game on Sunday. They're hard games, you know, seeing you've got all the possession. I've played in games like that when you've got all the possession and you're expected to put on a great show, 4-5-0. Like what I said about Celtic, I don't get carried away with the fact Celtic lost at Hibs. But it was all about getting the 3 points.
Yeah.
It's all about the winning. And it's all about getting to the top of the league. Putting another 3, 4 or 5 by Woods in the Hamilton goal and entertain the fans is great. That's icing the cake. But to be top of the league, they're now getting into a difficult period coming up. Because Rangers go to Hibs tomorrow night, Celtic go to Motherwell. And as I say, unless something miracle happens, which, you know, I hope it does, being a great Motherwell supporter,
sure,
then then you can only see Celtic winning. So once again, the pressure's on Rangers to go to Easter Road under, you know, the circumstances that Hibs are playing with confidence now because of the Celtic result.
So on that front then, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night, obviously, but this is the last Open Goal podcast with William Hill of 2018. So, Daz, that's why you're in the studio. You're in here to give us the big prediction into the old Dazzler's crystal ball, December 29th at Ibrox, Rangers v Celtic. I would imagine the winner would go into the winter break, top of the league, considering how tight it is.
You're not going to ask me for a prediction. Get Slane on the phone.
No, I was going to phrase it. I'm not going to say who do you think is going to win. I was going to phrase it differently. How do you see it going?
And who do you think will be top of the league?
Well, I think going back a few months, you know, and watching Celtic, I'd have certainly, everything would have went towards Celtic going to Ibrox and winning and being top of the league. I've still said for day one, I think Celtic will win the league, and I still think they'll win it by a few points. It's great for football that Kilmarnock are up there, Livingston are doing so well, and teams like that. You've seen St Johnstone, Aberdeen are back up to fourth. So Ibrox will be I would love it the now, you know, that the two of them getting there, the winner goes top of the league at
that'd be an ideal scenario, wouldn't it?
It'd
be brilliant.
The excitement, everything would be brilliant. Talking points would be great. If Celtic go and play the way they played on Sunday, you would fancy Rangers to beat them, Ibrox, because Rangers' record at Ibrox is very good, right? And they're playing well there, they're creating a lot of chances. My big worry for Rangers, I keep touching on, I think they need to get a partnership at the back. I think you can't, if you gave Rangers player a year now, it would be McGregor and Morelos, right? So it tells you your goalkeepers continually, you know,
getting up for the boys in front of them.
Exactly, yeah. Mark. And that's where a lot of people are missing. McGregor's been some signing, you've got to say, he's been absolutely terrific. But you can't keep relying on your goal all the time. Because he's going to go through a bad wee spell. He can't be brilliant every single week.
Well, I think that the manager appears to favour
Goldson, McCauley.
And Goldson. I think Worrell's number three, and I think for the moment, I think Katic is just, it's a custard pie at the moment. Yeah.
So, well, I would play the two. I would probably go with the two. McCauley's lack of pace a wee bit. I think if I was Edward, for instance, and when I played, I would do a wee bit of homework before I played. And I usually played up front with maybe a Brewster or somebody. And I would look at the weakest centre half. And I would immediately go on him, right? Now, if I was Edward, as much as McCauley loves a physical battle, because that's what he is, he loves a physical battle, I think if Edward gets him one-on-one, I think he's got a problem, right? Because I think the boys get so much pace and he can get... So I would probably edge to go with him. But he's got experience, McCauley. That's a good thing about it. He's got experience. But I just look at... I look at Rangers defensively and people can look, oh, well, they've only lost so many goals. But when you come against that, like, say, Forrest gone at you, coming in, you get Edward, if he gets back to his form, you've got Tom Rogic, who I think, on his day, is the best midfield player in Scotland. I think he's brilliant.
Last Thursday, he was steaming, wasn't he?
He was having one of my days. And you've got McGregor's and people like that. So I think we're in for an exciting 29. 3-4 weeks ago, I'd have went Celtic all day long. Now, I'm...
And you're not allowed to tip a draw, by the way.
No, I'm not going to tip a draw. I know exactly who I'm going to tip.
The thing is, though, McCauley, see, because Tavernier pushes on so high, do you want McCauley left vulnerable at a 1v1 with Edward, as you say? You know, he might go for pace because of that.
Well, I would struggle. I would worry about how high line you play with against Celtic and stuff like that as well. And then if you sit in too much, it gives him too much middle part where they can go and outplay you. It'll be interesting to see the teams and the tactics that set up. Tell you what, if I was Steven Gerrard, I'd be praying that Brendan Rodgers pitched up at Ibrox and went 3-5-2 with Scott Sinclair and Azagiri.
These are two wing backs.
These are two wing backs. I'd fancy Rangers all day with that.
So who's going to... Sorry, you're not getting away with it.
I was trying to get away with that. I'm going for a draw.
Right, we'll let you away with a draw. You might be right, you'll probably be right. Si, who are you going for, the Old Firm game?
I think...
December 29th, lunchtime kickoff.
I think a lot will come down to the teams. I would not honestly like to say until I've seen the teams that have played. You know, like you need to see the teams before you decide who you think it's going to...
Is old Hughie Taylor, the old sports writer, used to say, only a fool would predict the outcome of an Old Firm game, so I'm going for a draw.
We're all going for draws.
You're right, you only get a feel once you see the...
You're asking me a prediction. I gave one on Sunday, right? 3-1 Celtic. Oh, 3-0 Celtic, right? I was doing in 40-odd
seconds. You get asked it 30 seconds into the programme by Gordon Duncan on Sunday, and 10 seconds later... Hibs are one of us. Can I change that to 3-1?
He'd be good on our Coupon show because they can't get it fucking right either.
Oh, by the way, I'm hopeless.
Right, brilliant. Just to touch on very quickly, Si, Friday night, Livingston 5, Hearts 0. I mean, where did that come from?
That's what I was saying about Shankland as well. I know I mentioned it at the time, but Livingston, 8 players in that team that played in League One with them.
Yeah,
fair. So, do you know what I mean? And they're taking the league by storm. And by the way, Hearts were abysmal, weren't they?
Well, defending.
What about their defending? Was it the boy Menga's goal?
He'd all the time in the world to put it in, didn't he?
Livingston have been absolutely brilliant, haven't they? Yeah, and I remember playing against them, and I absolutely hated playing against them because every week they are on it. I think it's a lot of young boys who have been places and they've been released. And you can really tell they've got a determination to make it on them. I mean, the three guys at the back have been brilliant. And if you'd have told me that Alan Lithgow, Halkett and Decky Gallagher would be standing in the Premier League, I wouldn't have believed you 5 years ago. Honest, and I'm being totally honest about that. We tried to get Alan Lithgow at Peterhead, and I think he went to Airdrie because they were full-time. But that was, he was going to come to Peterhead, we were in League Two. And it's great to see because they're great boys. And as I say, I think Alan Lithgow was at Hearts, the young kid, Decky Gallagher was at Celtic with me. So I'm absolutely delighted for every one of them because I know they're great boys. And even when you played against them, they were running away with League One, but they were always really humble guys, you know, really nice guys. And I'm delighted for Livingston. And it's no surprise to me because I think at the end of last season when they were in the playoffs, I think people would be surprised at how well Livingston will do this year. And I picked the boy Pittman as well. And
you think they'll finish top six?
I think they will finish top six. Yeah. I just think going there is horrible. See, going to Almond, it is horrible.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
It's a Tony Macaroni.
Tony Macaroni. But,
just in case what he's saying is in a free pizza.
Celtic and Rangers both no picked up, no win there this season. Hearts as well.
That's right.
I think their home form will get them in the top six this year.
Yep, credit to Gary Holt and his players. And what a shame for the Hearts boys, they had to cancel their Christmas party, their weekend.
Can't believe
and cry because of, well, just watch it, there is absolutely no chance that'll catch on.
That's a nonsense. I remember.
Do you ever have that? That somebody cancelling your Christmas
party? I'm going to name and shame him right here now. Jimmy Nick, right? We go through a full season and we were different class. We won the league.
At Raith Rovers.
So we're going to the usual Magaluf boy. You know what I mean? We had the rain spot on the beach at Magaluf. The boy used to put the towels down for us.
Right beside the pedals.
Oh, unbelievable. Right. So we're playing, and this is how long ago it was. We're playing Clydebank at Kilbowie. And we turn up there. We're going out on the Saturday night. I think I was a captain or something like that. So anyway, cut a long story short, Nickel comes in for a game. There you go. I think it was about 2-3 grand. Right, I'm thinking, well, I got a good skin out of that. Boys, the gaffer's giving his 500.
You can go to Magaluf. I'm away to Florida.
Aye, so they were wondering how I was in first class. Right, so he throws the envelope down because we've been brilliant. We'd scoosh the league, right? Uh-huh. And this day we were hopeless, right? And then Clydebank, I think, beat us 2-1 or 1-0. So he comes in, but we're in the party, mate. Uh-huh. We're ready to go to the airport and all this going on. So I'm looking about, right, who stole the money? Right, come on, get yourselves, everybody up against the wall. Somebody stole the two, three grand. Nickel, I've got it. Put it in his pocket. So I'm looking, going, oh, you're joking. Nah, disgraceful. Absolute disgrace, he says. It was club's money, wasn't it, Jimmy? Right? Absolute disgrace.
So we're saying, right, let him calm down. Let him go and fucking have a pint of Guinness, calm down or something. So I'm going, I don't worry about it, boys. I'm now thinking, I only brought 100 quid. I was panicking, the sweat was coming down me. Swear to God, even all the way to the airport, I phoned him. I says, Jimmy, what's going on? Nah, disgrace. No, the money's going back. He's only getting the money. Never gave us the money.
Oh my God.
Never gave us the money. So see, as much as I know that people have got their own opinion, I think Craig Levein is 1,000,000% wrong. Mm. I always had to think...
Sorry to interrupt. Did Levein cancel or did the players decide to do it?
No, Levein cancelled it.
Levein cancelled
it. If Levein's cancelled it, I think he's wrong, right? And I can weigh up all the arguments about, well, supporters saying they're away and they're having a bevy and all this going on. I can understand that. But as when I went into management, I used to do maybe between a 4-week thing with my staff and say, right, that's the players' days off. This is what's happening. And I wouldn't care if win, lose or draw. I would never change that. Because their family's there as well. So you're there. See these managers, I can't stand these managers that probably somebody will phone in. By the way, you done that to me, right? I can't stand the ones that say, right, by the way, we're playing Sunday, you've got to be off Monday. You come in, you have a bad result. Oh, everybody in the Monday. I can't be bored with that, yeah, right? Yeah. You get they're human beings. They've had a bad day. Yes, you're disappointed. So I think Levein should have went, do you know what, boys? On you go. Get out the road. Mm-hmm. As long as you behave yourself. Get out the road. And just let them go and do what they have to do, then come back. What's the point of saying, right, go to Canada, they'll all be doing the dumps again, they've been looking forward to it, you've then got to lift them again. Get them out your road, plus the fact it gives the manager a wee bit time to go, do you know what, I'm just going to sit here, like, what went on there, bit wee staff, let's go for a meal, let's talk about this, how can we improve it? When the boys come back, they'll be refreshed and let's go on with it. I just think it's nonsense, and I hope Nicol is listening, it wasn't me 2.5.
Well, my dad, I was just going to say, I've received a call there for you, Super Scoreboard, saying that you were absolutely honking in the programme on Sunday, so you're bad for the Christmas night.
I love the Christmas night.
Right, here we are, we're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. It's the last one of 2018. We're all getting ready for Santa. Simon's been out cheating his Celtic a couple of new prezzies. He's looking the part. He's looking well, considering he had his Christmas night out. We've got about 15 minutes left on the programme. I'm Mark Goody, and a special guest alongside me is Gordon Dale. Very quickly, we'll touch on the Europa League draw. Then we're going to speak about Jose Mourinho, Daz's pal from Old Trafford. He has been sacked today, and we'll have a wee look at just finishing his off. We'll have a look at the Christmas nights out and how the boys, any memories that they have from their time out on the Razzle. Okay, Celtic, Valencia, La Liga side. Si, good draw for Celtic, box office one.
I think so. I think, remember, played him in the Champions League a few years ago, didn't they?
Yeah.
The Mestalla, great stadium.
I was there. Rab Douglas had
John Carew played, best, didn't he?
Yeah, and Rab Douglas, Celtic lost 1-0, Martin O'Neill's team, but Rab Douglas, I think, probably had his best ever game in a Celtic game.
I don't think they're the Valencia they were. They're not the Valencia they were years ago now, though, they? No, they've struggled for a few years.
Just a shame Gary Neville's not still in touch.
But I think, again, it'll depend on who they bring in January. You know, I think they need 2 or 3 players to compete in the Europa League. I think Salzburg was very poor for me. Never laid a glove on them. They look miles better. Celtic were miles off it. And I think 2 or 3 top quality players are needed if you're going to compete at that level for me.
They got to this stage last year, as it was dropped, although the route was dropping out of the Champions League, and then they came up against Zenit and lost. I mean, Celtic realistically get a chance of beating Valencia?
I think they have. I think Si's right about, you know, who they bring in, what they do. Celtic Park's got to be important. Try and get a lead as much as you can. We're touching on the away form. Would you fancy Celtic just now over in Valencia? No, I wouldn't. I watched them in the Champions League, Valencia. They're not the worst. As you say, Salzburg the other night there, I didn't think they were that good. So, as in, before they arrived at Celtic Park, and then when you watched them, technically, in the way they moved the ball,
a different level. Like,
my God, they totally outclassed
an Austrian team. They were
terrific. Yeah. So it shows you the standards that you're up against, Mark. But I think it's a favourable draw. Brendan Rodgers said that years ago he used to go over and study their ways and stuff like that. So I think it's an exciting one for the Celtic fans. If I do, they have a chance. Yeah, I think they have.
in terms of the, Brendan always plays the same way in terms of his philosophy on football, but can you see him trying to, let's say for example the first leg's at Celtic Park, so let's say they've got a lead to go and defend, whether it be a 1-0 or a 2-1 or whatever, can you see him like deploying tactics where they sit in, or do you think he'll still always have that, you know, plenty of attacking options on the pitch?
I think he's put himself in a position now that he's got to still always have that attacking options, because one, that's their best philosophy, that's their strength. Because if you look at Celtic, you'll always talk about middle to front with them. They're so quick in their movement. So I think he'll always stick to it. And plus the fact he's come out on record and said, I'll never change the way, the style of football I'm going to play. I don't know if that was the best thing in the world, because I think top managers do change. I'm not saying Brendan Rodgers isn't a top manager, of course he is. But I think the real elite guys know when to change and how to change. You know, and I think it's part of football nowadays, especially because there's no such a thing as an easy away game now. You've got to go there, your tactic. You can still play the personnel you want to play, but you can play it in a different way, if you know what I mean. Whether you sit deeper, whether you, you know, be a narrower midfield, or where you drop one off the striker, or, you know, where you go with two wide guys and stuff like that. You can still play the personnel. But I think sometimes that Brendan's been caught out away from home by playing the style. Now, the reason I won't criticise, because I'm sitting in Hampden, I'm looking out here, and I had one of the worst memories of my life as a manager. We got to the semi-final against Rangers.
Was it Air United?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'd beaten Dundee United Premier League, Motherwell Premier League, Dundee, I think, at the time, Premier League. And we had been absolutely brilliant. And I played a formation, it was like a 4-2-4. But 4-4-2, but I had two white guys. Now, the size of Hampden, so when we came in the semi-final, my staff all sat down, right, what are we doing? I said, I'm going attacking. Only best way to go here is attacking. I says, Rangers have got better quality than us. I'm right at them. I'm getting two wingers, two midfield players. We'll get right at them.
This is Dick Advocaat's team.
Dick Advocaat, yeah. When the players that he had. And 7 goals later, I thought maybe that was a mistake.
Brilliant.
But I walked off the pitch that day, and I learned as a young manager, if I had my time over again, I would have certainly done it completely different. Yeah. But that was my philosophy, and that's why I can understand Brendan Rodgers saying, no, this is the way I like to play. But that was hilarious. Brilliant. That was the time Kanchelskis stood in the ball.
Oh, was that right?
Aye, that was the time that happened. That was...
looking for you, weren't you? You were hiding by this point.
Where's that manager? He wasn't looking for me when he chapped the door and he seen a coffee cup coming in.
Well, it's a great link. A lovely way of just linked your own management career and Brendan's... his philosophy into somebody in total contrast has just been sacked today. Jose Mourinho, lack of entertainment, falling out with players, Man United fans completely switched off and disillusioned, and the United board decided to call it a day with Jose Mourinho this morning. Daz, I know you're a big fan of Jose Mourinho's. Was it deserved?
I think it was coming. I think the difference in football nowadays is players and chief execs have got the power now, haven't they? You know, when I think you could tell it in the transfer window. Mourinho wasn't happy. They were throwing names at Mourinho that Mourinho knew wasn't good enough. Now, people say Mourinho's went back the way and he's not the manager and he's not this. The guy's CV would break this table, Mark. For what he's achieved in football, it is incredible. So I give him all the respect in the world. I think he'll come back again. What happened was, he stood up to the big time players, and I like people like that. For instance, that Pogba, I would have put him right out the door. I'm sorry, you know, getting hairdressers in before the games and the way he went about his business. Now, as much as the manager takes the blame and takes the sack, I've watched Manchester United, and I think their players are a disgrace. An absolute disgrace. So player power got Mourinho the sack. Certainly did. And people say, well, you can handle players differently. Sometimes you just got a batch of boys that, you know, they're the wrong people in the wrong place. He had a bad time. Doesn't make him a bad manager. And it's true. I say the story. I met him at a Russell Watson concert. And I know that you three are sitting going, what's he doing at a Russell Watson concert, right?
I'm just surprised it wasn't Joe Longthorne, you're right, isn't it? Joe Longthorne.
I'm a big Joe, yeah, big Joe fan. I was at Joe, I met him in the caravan, but he didn't know Mourinho, so I got out of there quickly. But I met Mourinho at a thing, mate, and, you know, just 5 minutes conversation. The guy's just oozes class for me. And he's had a bad experience at Man U, but I think Man U are a bad club now, Mark.
Yeah.
And I think the corridors are rotted as well. It's always hard when you've got the great Sir Alex Ferguson sitting above you, what he's achieved. But Fergie, he should be there anyway. That's his club. But when you get guys at ex-players like the Scholes and all this, who the Gary Nevilles, who should appreciate how hard a job it is. Because he walked out of a studio and went into a job and failed miserably.
Henry's doing the same as well, isn't he?
Right, uh-huh. Exactly. Henry's doing the same as well. Talk's great, and you've got to realise that it's a hard job. I just think a lot of his players let him down. He'll take responsibility, but I don't know if he might be struggling for Christmas. I think his Christmas presents will be no bad. And I hope he's listening.
He'll probably have moved at the Lowry. But I remember that was one of the things that United fans, he didn't seem to ingratiate himself with the local community, staying at a hotel, which I can understand if people will be saying, you know, is your heart in it or not? You may argue, what's the difference whether you live in a house or you live in a penthouse? But however, on that... Now, it could well be the time that you're listening, Man United have appointed someone even temporary, a temporary role until the end of the season. But we all have great pundits. And for me, the best is Graeme Souness on the television.
You're going to say Frank McAvennie?
I love Souness. And alongside him, there was Roy Keane.
Brilliant,
at the weekend. Brilliant television. Should there be or could there be a role for Roy Keane at Man United in any new kind of regime, whether it's on a temporary basis to the end of the season or permanently?
Well, you talk about pundits. I would sit and listen to Roy Keane all day long. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'd listen to him is because, not because he was such a great player, he talks the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no hiding place from him. He comes out, he says it as he feels. He's not been... Pundits don't criticise people because it's not a criticism, it's just their opinion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And Roy Keane's very straightforward in what he says. I think his knowledge of the game's terrific. a lot of people don't like him because he's so forward and he's in your face. I'd have loved to have played under Roy Keane, because I think as a player, you like a manager to look you right in the eye and tell you, listen, mm-hmm. this is why I've left you out. Accept it or don't accept it, it's your strength of character. I think Keane's that kind of guy. Whether he's too strong as a guy for
a modern day player that you're talking about,
but even for the Edward Woodward, this world, you know, whether he's sitting going, hold on a minute, if I'm not doing it right here,
Keane will call me out.
Keane will come right in. Yeah. He's coming for me. Yeah. So sometimes they try to go, no, I'll keep myself cushy. I'll get somebody that I can control. Uh-huh. I don't think could, but. I'm sure that, do you know what I would love Keane to get in there for? Because I think he would close the door and I don't think he would miss the big time Charlies, which I think Manchester United need.
Would you have Roy Keane involved, or who would you like to see? Who's a realistic, and also, I'm asking so many questions here, are Man United still top five clubs in the world in terms of box, or do you think let's say for example, a Pochettino would look and say, they're normally Man United all day long, but you're thinking, I don't know, because who is going to get it right?
It depends what's going on. Like you said, depends what's going on with the guy Woodward. He seems to me to be close. I mean, I don't know. I'm just looking in for the outside, but the recruitment has been terrible. Terrible. I mean, is Mourinho picking these players? That's the sort of stuff you want to know as a manager. Because I imagine at Tottenham, Pochettino picks every player that he wants. You know, at Man United, does that happen? Because some of the signings, Lindelof, Bailey,
I think you'll find that there's not many in control.
Really?
I think you'll find that the chief execs are controlling that.
Why has that happened?
It's just the new roles and what happens now. That's why if you look at a lot of people's titles, head coach, gone are the days of manager above your door.
I don't understand coach. That, do you?
I totally agree with you, but it's a modern day football. And what happens is, they sign the players, they hand the players to you, and then you're basically, it's your job, it's on the line. So there's not many. At one point, I think Fergie and Arsene Wenger were the only two in the Premier League that was in charge of who come in the club.
Surely if your job's on the line, it's up to you to pick the players that are going to get for you.
And they're saying one of the things about Man United will probably come in a new restructure, as there will be a director of football or whatever title you want, because they wanted to bring somebody in to have a middleman between Woodward and the manager, but Mourinho wouldn't have it. But it seems to be a modern day way of going about it.
Surely these top coaches know players better than guys who have never played football before, though.
Yeah, but you would think so. I'll give you a perfect example just quickly, Mark. I know this for fact. There was a guy who was a manager of a top club, and his door got tapped with his physiotherapist and said, "Gaffer, I'm taking the three boys up for medicals." And he went, "What three boys?" He went, "Your three January signers." He had no idea who they were.
Who was? Dear me.
The chief executive brought them in.
Here or down south?
South.
Down south.
Mm-hmm. Brought them into his office.
Northeast, Lancashire, London?
I don't know. Is
it Mark Wilson at Ayrton?
Mark.
I love that one. Right, very, very quickly, because we want to finish off with that, as we like to do, with a wee bit of humour on the show. So quickly, Man U v PSG, Daz, new manager, permanent or temporary, whatever. Any chance you see PSG winning that one comfortably in the Champions League last 16?
Depends who they bring in. I would say PSG just now, with the players at Manchester United. I think they're a troubled club just now.
Okay then, we'll give you the next one as well. Your old club, Man City, I know you'll be down at the game against Schalke. Pep will have you down. You fancy your old club?
We will slaughter him.
Right, the other two English clubs for you, Si, Liverpool, Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich, not what they were a year or two ago.
Liverpool beat Bayern.
And finally, looks a decent draw as well for Spurs against Borussia Dortmund.
I think Dortmund will beat them.
You fancy Dortmund, do you? Yeah,
really good. Really good this year. Top Bundesliga by 9 points. I think Dortmund beat Tottenham over 2 legs.
Right, we'll wait and see if those predictions come true. Right, we're going to finish off. 50 minutes on the clock. The referee's looked at his watch, Daz. He's holding up the injury time board. We've got 3 minutes. Try and make it 3 good ones compared to previous
Saturday nights
that you've given us. Right, Christmas party season, it's coming to an end. We're all looking forward to Santa coming on Tuesday morning. Si, you had the Peterhead Christmas day. I noticed just by lot, I don't know if you guys were out waterlogging the pitch, but your game was off on Saturday, so you managed to get an earlier kickoff.
Jim was going to hit. He was going to get his training Saturday. The boys of Big Rory McAllister was raging. There's no way I'm training on the day of the Christmas do. So straight out, free bar for the chairman. Brilliant. We were absolutely steaming by six. Roger Morrison, great guy. The directors are up there, are brilliant.
What's the name of his establishment?
Cotton Bull.
Cotton Bull. If you're ever in Peterhead,
what a gaff.
Get up there and get into the Cotton Bull. Roger Morrison will lay on a free baffy if you just say you're a guest of Simon Ferry and Open Goal. Just put it on the tab. Just get right up there and get it right on the tab. Right, Daz. Best Christmas night out.
Oh, God, I've had hundreds. My biggest schoolboy, and like you and the boys, you always think, right, I'll pace myself. By 5 o'clock, you've had a good time. You know what I mean? You're thinking Coronation Street, you're born at 7:30, I'm here. But I decided this year, right, no, any chance. Schoolboy era, me and the Mushroom, Mark Wilson, meeting the Mora in town, 3 o'clock. It's no half.
3 o'clock?
I think old Shuggy Keevens is coming in. He's coming in about 5 as well.
To be fair to Hugh, can
keep going.
He can do about 3 balls in red and be all right.
I remember we had one with Raith Rovers. Oh, Jesus. And we all dressed up. And I had one of the big emus. No, the emus thing. So I'm not the big hanger fly. So I'm running about this emu thing. So some of the boys then come here and they were all scooting away. And we're having a real good time. And it got a bit late. And I'm in the corner, right? They're like, "Where's Daz?" I'm sitting in the corner and dancing. I had emu running like that. Come on, have a kick. It's all right. Right. Try to give emu a drink, right? And talking to it, and boys, absolutely nailed me, slaughtered. So I woke up with an emu. Well, she looked like an emu.
That's no bad. Si, best Christmas night out?
We went to Manchester with Swindon. Fancy dress the whole weekend. I was David Seaman.
What is this fancy dress?
It's just a laugh, isn't it? But anyway, so we're walking down the street and there's two polos coming towards me. I was steaming at this point, man. So boys are like that. There's two strikers through on goal. So I've ran over to the two polos right down at their feet. Nearly tripped them off my that close to getting huckled for the full weekend. But they've seen the funny side and let us away. But Christmas dudes are brilliant. I absolutely love them. I love
how
for the
you dress as David? Moustache and a ponytail?
Moustache, ponytail, that was it. No, the full Arsenal strip as well. Goalie strip. Studs,
like
mate. Studs on in the pub. I was slipping all over the place, man. Big goalie boys drink my pint. It was brilliant.
Padded shorts on.
Padded shorts, everything.
Oh, brilliant. I love that. That'd be a great sight right in the middle. Just
two polos for raging, man.
Ah, brilliant. Well, look, that's a nice wee way to round us off. We've had nearly 55 minutes from the boys, from Simon Ferry and from our special guest Gordon Dale, from everyone at Open Goal. It's been a terrific 2018. This is our last podcast. We'll be back with you I'm guessing on the 15th of January, I think we'll be back. But thanks for making us the number three in the iTunes Sport Podcast. We're very, very happy you've been listening to us. Delighted that you're enjoying the show. And from everyone at Open Goal, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we'll speak to you all soon.